This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. The play school at Manson's Hall has seen all kinds of expansions over the past year and a half. I sat down with Tammy Collingwood, the executive director of the SCCA, to find out what the current offerings of the play school are, recent changes, and what is to come in the year ahead. So the play school has seen so much over the past several years with COVID and then getting new staff on board last year and expansions happening since they've been happening over the course of this past year quite a bit. What is the play school currently offering right now?
So currently we are offering 2 full days. So from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. and 2 half days from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Traditionally, the play school has been 2 days a week from 9 to 1. So the first expansion was expanding to all day on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then we expanded to 4 full days. And then we actually scaled back a little bit when we noticed that the two of the afternoons weren't quite as well attended as we thought. So it was more that families just spread out throughout the days rather than it all filling up. So we scaled back a little bit because we just didn't have the budget to support that without a certain amount of registration. Yeah, so now we're at 2 full days and 2 half days. And that seems to be working really well. And recently, about a month ago, the board approved expansion into all ages care, which allows us to, and this is a pilot project that we're trying out because traditionally the play school is for 3 to 5 year olds. And so this new licensing, which we acquired, allows for children under 30 months to attend. And so we wanted to do a lot of reach into the play school community, mostly like with the parents who already have their kids registered, to see how that would be for them. Because it is quite a significant culture change in the play school to add children under these. So we took our time with that. We wanted to make sure we were setting it up for success. And we still have yet to see how that'll work out. But it sounds like there's been a few younger participants as of late, and it's been working out nicely.
Do you have numbers as far as how many kids are in play school now?
So on the Tuesdays and Thursdays, that seems to be the most popular days. There's often 8 to 9 children. And on the Wednesdays, Mondays and Wednesdays, it's more 4 to 6, I believe.
And then when you said that there's new participants now that you've expanded to all ages, that you said a couple, like 2 more?
Yeah, so we can only have 2 children at a time that are under a certain age, or 3 under 3 years old. And we already have under 3-year-olds, so because they're between 30 months and 36 months. So the maximum amount we can take in is 2.
Under 30 months? So it sounds like those spots are being filled?
Yeah.
Are they fully being filled or just like some of the time and there's maybe still room for kids that age at some time?
There wouldn't be any more room because we can only have a certain amount at a time.
Yeah.
And the other days are full right now. We have a lot of different licenses right now. And this is something that we're looking into streamlining a little bit because we have a preschool license, and then we have a group care license, and now we have an all ages license. And so it's starting to become a little bit of a chaotic administrative burden to have all these different categories of licenses. Janice, our financial and admin coordinator, and myself are looking at what we can do to simplify our licensing. And as a result, we might be able to make childcare more affordable for parents because some of the different licenses that are only for half days only will allow for a certain amount of subsidy for parents. And yeah, so there's a lot of like reassessment to do and organization to do of the program. But right now we're just trying to see how it works with adding the younger ages and working towards streamlining the administrative processes. Because it's a lot. And it's a lot dealing with the ministry, which is where a lot of the subsidies come from that help parents. So we get some funding. We got our gender equity funding to help support paying staff to staff the play schools and continue to staff the play school with extended hours so that more parents would have access to the play school. But in terms of making play school more affordable for parents, that's something that we're still working on. And that's something that's oftentimes connected with the ministry or the provincial governing bodies. And it is quite a heavy administrative workload working with the ministry. So it's a lot. There's everything that happens in the play school, and then there's the background of how we navigate all the systems.
Okay, so from the sounds of it, in the midst of expanding, you're also adjusting based on capacity and what's actually the need is. So it sounds like full 4 days, you didn't quite get the registration that you needed to make that feasible fiscally. So you scaled back, and it sounds like with the all ages expansion, that reached capacity pretty quickly.
There's a lot of layers there because first we need to know for budgeting purposes how many participants we're going to have in order for us to, one, be able to staff the play school adequately. So for that, we have our general funding from the gaming grant that we get towards the play school. So we have some funding coming from the government for that. But we also really rely on commitment and registration to support the play school. And it's difficult because, especially with staff, like if less kids come, then we can't really pay that staff to be there when there's no kids. It's not good fiscal management to overstaff when we're really so tight on our funding. The gender equality grant has helped has given us a bit of a buffer for that, but spread out amongst the year, the amount of money doesn't cover a full expansion into 4 full days, because that would mean we were staffing 2 people at a time in the play school. And it's also important for staff or people who are working here to know, do they have a job? How many hours a week are they working? We can't just be like, oh, there's not enough kids, you're not working anymore. It's not really fair to staff that way. So there's a lot of factors involved outside of budgeting, trying to make it sustainable for staff and retain staff and make them feel that they have stable employment. And then getting the commitment from parents that they're going to keep their children in the play school so that we do know what kind of money is coming in so we can staff the play school accordingly.
Are parents prepaying for a month of play school? Are they being invoiced and paying after they've attended? Are there fees based on what they are committed to bringing their kids for and not when they actually attend?
I think there's been a bit more flexibility at the play school, but we really try to ask for full commitment. Sometimes kids are sick and they can't come, and so then parents can't go to work because their children are sick, and then it's hard for them to pay for the daycare that they've committed to. And we do have a childcare subsidy that gives some money back, but right now we feel like we're not really maximizing that, and so that's something that we're working on right now because of that conundrum. Kids do get sick, and we ask that parents don't bring their kids to play school when they get sick because we don't want everyone else getting sick. And then parents have to stay home, and then they can't go to work to pay for the play school fees. And yet it's a very circular thing. And so right now we're in the problem-solving stage of that conundrum and just trying to figure out how we can make it work for everyone, for parents, for the staff, for the budget, for the membership, for the community. The good thing is, I believe that right now, everyone who's seeking childcare has childcare at our facility. So there's no one that's out there. There was one parent who was on a Monday afternoon who had to find alternate care. But I believe right now, anyone seeking childcare has access to it. On a positive note, that's a really great thing.
And that is just to say they have access to it, as in it's available here, but affordability you're pointing to is still a major factor. So the big question that a lot of people ask me is, what about the $10 a day daycare?
Yeah, and I asked that question as well. And I think that's, again, I don't see that happening. I don't see that being offered. There's a lot of different programs within the ministry. So there's the childcare subsidy program, which can go back to parents. There's a childcare operating fund, which is a certain dollar amount per day per child that's registered in a school that comes to the facility. And then there's the affordable child care benefit, which also goes back to parents. All these three different types of funding within the ministry, and the amount of actual administrative work that goes into trying to access these funds, it almost negates the amount of money that you receive, because the amount of paperwork and back and forth and the disorganization, and it's so hard to, especially for Hannah, who's working full-time in the play school, trying to navigate that system while looking after the kids. It just wasn't working. That's why we took the administrative piece of the play school back into the office, because you really literally have to be sitting waiting by the phone for hours to get a phone call back from someone from one of these programs to find out that misspelled something, or they had the wrong information entered, or there was something missing from this form. And it just seems to be this constant issue with communication between ourselves. And I'm sure it's not just us. I've heard this from like various other programs, childcare programs, where it's just navigating those funding sources is extremely, it's a heavy workload. But we're trying to do our best to do it. And hopefully we'll figure something out that will, as we go on, we're learning more and more about each of these different programs. And our main focus right now is finding out how we can get more money back to the parents, so that it's not such a huge expense for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So with the $10 a day program, those applications open in June and they close in August. And so our play school is open during the school year.
Their style facility would be year round.
So it sounds like the SECA, the play school here, has never applied for that program, but it's not clear if they would even be applicable based on all of the hoops. I'm just wondering if there's a protocol or an intention moving forward as you guys continue to try to expand, reach out publicly versus within the group that's already getting childcare?
Yeah, absolutely. We would also be looking at sending out a survey and to see who might be interested, or trying to get early registration. Another big part is finding certified staff. We do have really amazing people on staff right now, but things change, and so that it's very dependent on that as well. Do we have qualified and willing play school facilitators?
Hannah Schwarzentruber, the lead facilitator for the play school at Manson's Hall, resigned in April, and her last day will be April 27th. She began at the play school in the beginning of 2022, and during her time as lead facilitator, she did the work which led to three expansions in the play school, including two based on frequency, and the third increased the age range.
On Hannah Schwarzentruber's last day of working as the lead facilitator of the play school, she offered a written response to CKTZ. Hannah Schwarzentruber wrote, "My resignation was a difficult choice, but ultimately, I stepped down from my position largely due to the working dynamics of the organization. It was very challenging to advocate for these changes and a steep learning curve to work with the board. I'm so grateful to the families, my co-workers, and other community members for standing together with me and pushing for these important changes. After taking a break, I look forward to returning to childcare in the future and will definitely circle back with renewed energy after integrating these experiences."
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.